Feast of All Saints is a wonderful feast. Obviously, one of the holy days of obligation established by the church for the church universal to celebrate. But my recollection, especially of the wonderful Feast of All Saints, goes back to my grammar school days, when in third grade, the third graders, we were going to lead the procession into church for our school mass on the Holy Day of Obligation, November 1st. It was really an exciting time, and Sister had decided that all of the students in the class would choose various saints and be represented various saints. The patron of my home parish was Saint Michael the Archangel, and I got selected to be Saint Michael. Now, I'd like to tell you I got selected because of my exemplary status in class, my tremendous character, my virtue as a third grader, but actually it was, in all reality, it was because my mother and my aunts could sew and fashion the costume in a way which made kind of eyes always kind of bug out. And the costume was spectacular. I'm going to tell you, it was the almost that silver chain mesh, you know, on the top that covered the and then of course then I had a breastplate on the top of it. I had a wired halo on the top of my head. I had a wingspan that was larger than my entire body on both sides of Saint Michael. But the pièce de résistance was the fact that I had a plastic sword. Now put a plastic sword in the hands of a third grader amidst all the other saints whose symbols were palms, maybe a staff, and you could imagine what immediately started as we gathered together to begin the procession in. I realized that I had something which was an advantage over everyone else, and I was to lead the procession. Well, certainly I could not resist the temptation. The sword came out and intimidated and harassed the rest of the saints. So much so, Sister Lucita came up, grabbed the sword, and for the first time in the history of the church, disarmed Saint Michael the Archangel. She said, "You will not have the sword going in the procession." I pleaded with her. I said, "Sister, how am I, as Saint Michael, to defend against the devil and his hordes without a sword?" She said, "You with the sword look like you were leading the fallen angels rather than the angels in heaven." And so there I did. I marched in, defrocked of my sword, marched in, leading the procession of all the third graders on the Feast of All Saints, which was, of course, an impression on all of us that we took the role of those saints, that we were called to step in their shoes. Look, we all have our heroes in our lives. Of course, you know, sports athletes, movie stars, political and religious leaders. However, there are those personal heroes who exemplify or bring out the best in us who may be closer to home. There's the teacher who took the time to guide us through a difficult period in our young life. Their encouragement gave us the confidence to succeed. The aunt or the uncle who impressed upon us the importance of being faithful in fulfilling the task that we have assumed. And because of them, we realize the importance of dependability. The grandfather or the grandmother whose prayer life reminded us of our responsibility to God, helping us to understand that we need not only take, but must give back in recognition of our gratitude to God who gives us all that we have. I can't tell you how many times I read letters of confirmands, or literally the confirmands come up to me to be confirmed. And who's their sponsor? Their grandmother or grandfather. In the letter, or to me personally, they will say, This person represents to me what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be a Christian, their goodness, their faithfulness. And here their grandchild is taking that example and receiving it into their own lives. Now today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, the heroes and heroines of the faith. They come really in all shapes, sizes, and all races, men and women, the young, and even the infants. There are the martyrs who sacrificed their lives. There are the kings and the queens who devoted themselves to the poor and the downtrodden. There are the slaves who rise above their social status through a commitment to Christ. There are the brilliant scholars whose intelligence brings greater understanding to the practice of the faith. What happens is they all fulfill one common vocation shared by the faithful, and that is they led lives of holiness. What happens to us oftentimes is we take the saints and we remove them. We place them so far above us that we believe that we could never share in what they've achieved. And yet the vocation of every one of us here, no matter what station in life we are called to, we are called to holiness. In fact, there are those that say immediately, if you're not striving to be a saint, you're not living a worthy life. And it's not the sainthood of piety, of little folded hands, of little bowed heads. It's not that type. What it is, really, immediately, is it's a sense of understanding and directing our lives to being used as an instrument of God's presence. We take a look immediately of what we are called and how we are called to live this life and to acknowledge that holiness in front of everyone. But how do we do it? Well, if you take a look at the gospel today, the gospel in and of itself, the gospel, is said to be the greatest homily ever preached. Any type of preacher, any sermonizer, takes within himself a real worry if he's going to preach upon this gospel. Because this is Jesus' fashion, formula, and recipe for all of us on how we should live our life. How we should take the things that we do in our lives and mirror Christ. And notice, immediately in the gospel, in those eight Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, they're the poor in spirit. Blessed are they. Those who mourn, blessed are they. Those who are meek, blessed are they. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are they. The merciful, blessed. Clean of heart, blessed. Peacemakers, blessed. Persecuted, blessed. Everything that the world would speak in opposition to, the Lord says, empowers you. And why? It reflects the cross of Jesus Christ and his unconditional love. It's the cross of Jesus Christ and his unconditional love. Today's gospel gives us that recipe for success. Remember, these are not the commandments, but these are a statement of Jesus telling us a way to live that fashions our right relationship with God and neighbor. Contradictory to what the world would view as success. But our goal is not money and popularity or power. Rather, our goal, and that's holiness, is to be with God. And everything is secondary to it. It's not that we're in opposition to money or power or prestige. And if that comes, all the better if we want to understand it immediately as a gift from God to be used to enhance his presence in the world. But we always see that it's subordinate to the one activity that we are all called. And that is our relationship with God. See what love the Father has bestowed on us that we may be called children of God? Yet so we are. As God's children, we realize we belong to him. It is God that is our priority. The saints allow God to use them as an instrument. They bend their wills to His. And in the end, they were received in heaven. We declare immediately today, through the act of the church, that these men and women that we celebrate are in heaven, enjoying the ultimate relationship with God. That's our vocation. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Sister Lucita disarmed me if it meant me walking into heaven. If it meant my disarmament meant being joined to God in His procession, then it was well worth sacrificing the power of the plastic sword in order to be received in that procession. Heaven is our goal, and Jesus is the way. The challenge for us is to live lives that allow God to use us in a manner that fulfills our vocation to holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.